Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And in this episode of Jots and Tittles, I would like to offer a review and a response to some recent statements made regarding the traditional texts of Scripture and the promotion of confessional bibliology and even the book that I co-edited, Why I Preach from the Received Text. That came from Matthew Everhard. Matthew Everhard is the pastor of Gospel Fellowship, PCA Church in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. And he's a popular YouTuber as well. He has a popular YouTube channel in which he sometimes addresses issues related to the text of Scripture. In the past year, he moved from being a self-proclaimed critical text guy to being a majority text guy. And he's also been quite antagonistic in his views towards the Textus Receptus, towards the traditional text, towards confessional bibliology, and even towards, again, the book, Why I Preach from the Received Text. He posted a review of the book this past year that, while not toxic, did not accurately, I think, reflect the content of the book. It sort of misrepresented many things within it. Accused us of holding to King James Version onlyism, which is not accurate. In fact, we even disavow that position within the book. He also, soon after the review, posted a video that he said was supposed to be humorous, in which he accused the TR position of trading in conspiracy theories. And he got so much negative pushback regarding that video, not just from us in the confessional text position, but from other people as well, that eventually removed that video and replaced it with another one from which he removed some of the more offensive content. Although that the video that he put up as a replacement also has lots of problems with it and really falls flat as humor, if that's what it was meant to be. Since that time, he's remained fairly outspoken, critical of the traditional text position. And he's also active on Twitter. And his activity and his antagonism toward our position was expressed just yesterday in a couple of tweets and some responses, reactions that came to it. And I would like in this episode just to offer some review and some analysis and some response of these most recent tweets that came out. And so in order to be able to be fair and to fairly represent what he wrote on Twitter, I'm going to pull up a PowerPoint that I created that hopefully will let us see clearly what the issues are here and how we can best respond to them. So this is reviewing and responding to recent charges made on November the 22nd of 2022, made by Pastor Matthew Everhard on Twitter regarding the appendix to Why I Preach from the Received Text. And I grabbed the image there from Dwayne Green's podcast earlier this year when Matthew Everhard was defending the fact that he was a critical text guy. And like I said, he sort of changed that position later in the year. So here is the tweets, or here are the tweets that came out. The first one was posted yesterday at 7:37 p.m. And it said this: spoke to a young man who went from critical text to majority text to TR only, then to KJV only, then left his church because he read that it teaches Satan's Bible. Now he is completely out of fellowship with the body of Christ, all alone with his KJV. And so supposedly he talked with this person who has been through these whiplash turns. He was upholding the critical text and the majority text, and he was so-called TR only. That's not a term we use for our position. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Then he was KJV only, And then he said he left his church because he read that it teaches Satan's Bible. Now, there's been a criticism of our book, one article in particular by Chris Myers, because he refers to the modern text and modern translations taken from it as reflecting errors. And so he uses the term Satan's Bible to refer to translations and texts that do not properly transmit the traditional text. And so obviously he's talking about our book here, right? And he's saying that this fellow left his church, left church altogether, because he read our anthology. That's the implicit charge that's being made here. And then he followed up this tweet with another comment that said, they told him how to leave his church. They gave him a step-by-step path to do it. Friends, this is not Reformed theology. Now, who is they? Who is they? Who are these people, these nefarious people who told this young man how to leave his church and gave him a step-by-step path to do so? And I think it's fairly clear that Everhart is trying to make reference to the appendix that appears in our book, Why I Preach from the Received Text. The appendix is titled Steps Towards Change in Your Church. And there's a part of it that is addressed to the average church member who has concerns about the text of Scripture, and to the average pastor who has concerns about the text of Scripture and how he might proceed with respect to his activity involvement in his local church, if his conscience is tender on the issue of text of Scripture. So he's suggesting that our book gives people, first of all, a call to leave their churches, and then step-by-step directions as to how to do that. He then placed this second tweet that says, the majority text position does not slander. The majority text does not create fear. The majority text does not tell people to leave churches. The majority text does not divide the body of Christ. We don't have to. We simply believe the vast majority of manuscripts are God's means of conveying his preserved word. Now, there's a lot, again, of implicit messaging in this text. When he says the majority text position does not slander, what is he implying there? That there's another position that does slander. And of course, he's thinking about the confessional text position, that we are slanderers. And then he says that his position doesn't create fear. And of course, he's saying there, we have a position that is based on creating fear. But actually, what is he kind of doing here? He's creating fear about this proverbial young man who, because he read our book, our dangerous book, he ends up abandoning his involvement in the local church. Isn't that fear-mongering to say if you accept our position, then it'll lead you to abandoning the local church? He also says the majority text position does not tell people to leave churches. What does that imply? That our position tells people to leave churches. The majority text position does not divide the body of Christ. What's he doing? He's making a charge against us. At least be courageous enough to say it forthrightly and not try to play this game of saying it implicitly. He's saying that we divide the body of Christ. And so these are very serious charges. Matthew Everhart is a minister in the PCA church, and he's making charges against the editors of the book, me and Christian McShaffrey, and also the 25 contributors to our book, by saying that we are attempting to divide the body of Christ. We are trying to tell people to leave churches. And is that an accurate reflection of what we have preached and taught? So there was some pushback. He got some pushback last night on Twitter. Let's go back to his original statement. Remember, he told us he had spoken to a young man who, because he had read our book, had decided to leave church altogether And he's all alone with his KJV. They told him to leave his church. They gave him a step-by-step path to do it. And he says, this is not Reformed theology. Well, it certainly wouldn't be Reformed theology to encourage anyone to be outside of the fellowship of the local church. Of course, we've never recommended that. But anyways, we'll get to that in a moment. So we got some pushback. And one person, I don't know this person, named Puritan Hope, I think immediately smelled that there was something fishy about this whole story about this young man. And he said, give me the young man's name if he exists, and I'll set him straight. And of course, he's saying, Matthew, did you really meet someone who said he read this book and it made him decide to leave membership and participation in the church? And who is this guy? If he's a real person and you're not bearing false witness, tell us who this is. And Matthew Eberhard responded cheekily. He said, okay, Puritan Hope from Kansas City, Missouri, you know, smiley face, laughy face. And is he saying, you are the person, Puritan Hope, and you're from Kansas City, Missouri? And if you look at this guy's profile, Puritan Hope, that's where he says he's from. But he doesn't. What does he do? He obfuscates. He does not answer the question. And then this fellow followed up and he said, I will say, even if it is true, and that's a big even if, because I'm with this guy, I'm skeptical of this whole supposed conversation that Matthew Eberhard had. He may have talked to somebody about text, but I think he most likely is completely misrepresenting it. He says, even if it is true, that's not the fault of the TR. I know people who, after becoming Calvinists, left the faith because they believe scriptures taught fatalism. That's not a fault of Calvinism. Don't blame true doctrine for people's apostasy. Of course, he's making the point that this fellow is definitely, if there is such a person, he's extremely unstable. And he's not leaving church because of our book or because of the Textus Receptus. If there is such a person who's done this, he's done this because of his own instability. And Eberhard now responds defensively. He says, it is definitely true. And it's not the fault of the TR, but the book that told people how to leave CT, I guess that's critical text, translation churches. So now he's saying, I'm not blaming the TR. I'm blaming this book. This book is the wrongdoer here. And of course, he still hasn't mentioned the book by name. He's still beating around the bush, but he's blaming it on the book. Someone else, Keys, again, someone I don't personally know, responded, and he is also skeptical about this. He says, did the book tell people to stay home rather than go to a critical text translation church? And I think now Matthew Eberhard is beginning to get a little panicky because he's realizing that people were not accepting at face value his story time about this proverbial person that he talked with. And so he tries to backtrack. He says, no, in fairness, it did not. Well, if it didn't, then why did you say that it did? You said it told people to leave their churches and gave them a step-by-step path to do it. But now he's trying to backtrack because people are calling bull, you know what, on his comments. And he continues, it suggests leaving your home Reformed confessional church for another Reformed confessional church based on underlying Greek text preferences of translation choice. I'm going to read exactly what we wrote in just a minute. And yes, it's sage pastoral advice sometimes to tell people if they're out of step conscientiously with the practice of a church to transfer to another. That's what we were suggesting. We were suggesting working through everything peacefully and charitably. We were never suggesting anyone leave a church. That's what Matthew Eberhard explicitly said. And now he's trying to backtrack it. Puritan Hope responded then. So really, you're just emotionally responding to a situation that's no different than a guy who became a Calvinist and went apostate. It's not the TR that is the issue, it's the man. Yes. if this is someone you actually talk to, it's an unstable person. And his reasons for leaving the church aren't because he read our book or because of anything related to the received text or our position. So thankfully, there were some people calling out Matthew Everhard for his comments and these irresponsible tweets and these irresponsible charges. Someone also within that same thread called him out on not being specific. And so they asked, "You mean the appendix of Riddle's latest edited book, Why I Preach?" And by the way, as of this morning, when I checked Twitter, Everhard still had not responded to that very simple question from Thomas Sinclair. And so he also is, you know, sniffing out that this doesn't seem right. And it's not right to make charges like this without being clear and open and responsible about it. So I want to go to the appendix that Matthew Everhard has made this charge against our book. It leads people to want to abandon churches. Now, the book consists of 25 essays by pastors who preach from the received text. And we put together this appendix. Part of the reason we did this is because we do often get emails and phone calls and questions from people whose consciences are pricked by the whole issue of text and scripture and are asking us, sometimes pastors, sometimes laymen, about whether or not this is a serious enough issue that should lead to them leaving the church, or how they should approach their pastors if they're laymen in the church. And so we did include an appendix that addresses this. It's titled Steps Towards Change in Your Church. It was co-written by myself and Christian McShaffrey. And I will say that Christian's a primary author of this, but I did read over it, did give some input to it, and I don't back away from it. I stand behind the content of it. This is found on pages 253 to 259, and there's an opening paragraph that talks about the revival of interest in the traditional text, and this leads us then to pages 254 and 255. And so we first address advice to the average church member, the layman in the church, and then you'll see on the bottom of page 255, there begins a longer section that is advice to the average pastor. But really, all we had to say to the average church member is found on pages 254 to 255. And since Matthew Everhard has made very serious charges against us, I want to read the entire thing, and I want the viewer, for you to judge for yourself whether or not Matthew Everhard has properly interpreted and represented our position. So this is what we said to the average church member. "The truth of divine preservation is one of the most comforting things a Christian can discover. It can also be one of the most disconcerting, since you will find yourself, at least at the present time, holding to a minority position. It is therefore important to stay calm, charitable, and proceed carefully. Step one, give a gift. If you're not in a position of church leadership, but a member who would like to see the church reconsider its position on the text of Scripture, simply offer a free copy of this book to your pastor and tell him how much you profited from it spiritually. Do not ask him to read it, because he already has a stack of books assigned, in quotes, by well-meaning members. But just offer it as a free gift and follow up with him later. Step two, buy him lunch. A couple of months after the gift has been given, follow up with your pastor and ask if you could meet for lunch to discuss the book. If he confesses to not having read it, say something like, 'I'm sorry, I know you have a lot to read. Might you have time to read my favorite essay? I would really love to hear your perspective.' He will probably agree to that. So get that lunch meeting on the schedule, and remember to mention, by the way, that you are buying. When you meet together, it is imperative that you do more asking and listening than talking. Reconsidering one's view on the text of Scripture is a major undertaking, but especially for a minister of the word. Also, be sure to avoid overly charged rhetoric. If you bring words like liberal or heresy to the table, your pastor's defenses will immediately go up, and the level of trust you once enjoyed with him might decrease. Remember, this is your first conversation about the topic, and if you stay calm and respectful, there will most likely be more to come. In taking up this discussion with your pastor, you will need to remember and be content with the fact that it is your pastor and elder's responsibility to determine which version is used in the pulpit ministry of your church. If there is no openness to change, you should not push the matter. Rather, you should begin considering your ability to remain in your church as a faithful member while holding a different opinion on this particular issue. If you cannot do this due to conscience, politely request that your membership be transferred to a nearby church of like faith and practice. The online TR-friendly church directory may be a helpful resource in such a case. And that's the end of the comments to the layman. Now, you ask yourself, did Matthew Everhard accurately represent our position? Did we suggest that anyone leave church uncharitably over this position and just meet by himself alone with his King James Version? No, we did not. We stressed that you should proceed carefully, slowly, patiently, that you remain within your church, that you remain obedient and faithful to your leadership. And we present the possibility that it might be that you would just remain in your church and understand that you have a minority position. And it's not a position that will be a litmus test for you leaving your church. But if your conscience is very tender, then you might speak with the elders and you might seek a church that is consistent with your conscientious practices and not leave church altogether, but transfer to that church with the help of your minister. Well, isn't that sound pastoral advice? What's wrong exactly with that pastoral advice? I would suggest to you it's not at all the way Matthew Everhard misrepresented our position in the book. I want to go back to his tweets. He tweeted, "The majority text position does not slander. The majority text does not create fear. The majority text does not tell people to leave churches. The majority text does not divide the body of Christ." Of course, the implication is that there's some position that does all of this. And again, the tweet he started out with, "Spoke to a young man who went from critical text, majority text, to TR only, then to KJV only, then left his church because he read that it teaches Satan's Bible." That's our book. He's saying that this person was adversely influenced by our book. The book only came out in July, by the way. It's November. So somehow in just a matter of a few months, this person read our book, and apparently he misread it because he didn't properly read the appendix. And it leads to him abandoning church altogether and being alone with his KJV, according to Matthew Everhard. Then he said, "They told him how to leave their church. They gave him a step-by-step path to do it. Friends, this is not Reformed theology." So did we commit pastoral ministry malpractice in this appendix? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Matthew Everhard implied and even said that our position is guilty of slander. Well, what is slander exactly? I looked it up online here on the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary. And of course, slander is a verb, first of all, to utter slander against, to defame. And it's also a noun. And the noun has two entries. The first of those is the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. Second definition, a false and defamatory oral statement about a person. And slander is particularly an oral activity, but I think it could apply to written. Now, my question is, who has committed slander here? Who has committed slander? That's my question. Let me get out of the PowerPoint. I have two questions at the end that I would like to pose, in addition to the question of who committed slander. Two questions. First of all, did Matthew Everhart actually have a conversation with someone who decided to leave church altogether and be alone with his KJV based on his reading of Why I Preach from the Received Text, and based on his reading of, in particular, of the appendix to our book? Is there really such a person? Someone else on Twitter asked the question, does this person exist? And I would like to see some evidence that this person actually exists. If he says that he made this decision based on the reading of our book, he completely misread our book and misunderstood it. We'd love to talk with him about that and correct any misunderstandings. In fact, in the appendix at the very end of the book, we offered to speak with anyone, whether a layman or a pastor, who had these types of conscientious issues. This is page 259, the conclusion. Should you have any questions, the editors of this anthology would happily make themselves available for private correspondence. And we gave there an email address, and we ended with, keep the faith, dear reader, and rest assured, God has kept his word pure in all ages. So this person did not do this. We've not heard from such a person. Does he exist? Please have him get in touch with us. Second question. Did Matthew Everhart fairly and accurately represent the content of our book, and especially the appendix to our book? If he did not fairly represent it, again, was there slander involved here? Again, these are serious issues. We don't take this lightly. And I'm sad to have to offer really this rejoinder in this format. But these charges were placed publicly on Twitter on a public format, and I'm responding publicly to them. And I hope we'll get a response. I hope we'll get a response from Matthew Everhart. Perhaps an apology, withdrawal of those charges, clarification, identification of this person, or a suggestion that maybe if such a person existed, that he wasn't fairly represented. So anyways, I'm going to bring this episode of Jots and Diddles to an end. And sorry for this have to deal with these heavy, serious matters, but I felt like it was best to respond to it as quickly as possible so that people aren't confused about what our book is about and what this appendix to our book is about. Anyways, hope this episode has been helpful, profitable for those who are listening, and I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next episode in this series. Till then, take care and God bless.